Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
We thank you that your word does not return unto you void, but it does go out and accomplish that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent.
Yes.
Thank you for granting Pastor Chris and myself utterance in the Holy Ghost today, thinking through our thoughts, speaking through our lips, bringing things back to our remembrance mm-hmm. that needs to be brought up and said and spoken by you and the anointing and the Holy Ghost this morning. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor for
yes,
it
Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we welcome everybody to the Healing Center. Those online, we welcome you with
Praise
us here
God.
Today. And, just like miracles and healings can take place right here, right now, in this service, they can also take place right there in your home if you're mm-hmm. watching online. And if that does happen and you're watching online, we want you to let us know about it. So write it down or report it back to us. Let us know what's happened to you and as you're listening online and at home, as well as here in the service. We
right.
welcome you to come here because it's something about, just like Paul said, he said, it's something about seeing your face that I can impart something that might be missing in your faith. So
yeah.
I would say that's very important because the Bible says, without faith, we can't even please God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. yeah. We need faith, and we need to develop it and be exercising and stretching it mm-hmm. more and more, right?
And it comes by hearing the Word of God.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So let's make our confession today. How many got your sword of the Spirit? Glory to God.
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah. Let's make this together today. The Word is enough for me.
The Word is enough for me.
I believe.
I believe.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today.
Today.
I receive.
I receive.
The incorruptible.
The incorruptible.
Indestructible.
Indestructible.
Word of God.
Word of God.
Into my heart.
Into my heart.
And I will never be the same.
And I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You believe that? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Those that believe, the Bible says, those that believe now possesses. John mm-hmm. 6:47.
Praise the Lord. Well, if you were not here last week, Pastor Debbie and I began a two-part message for the Healing Center that we entitled, How to Heal Your Heart Condition. So in order to really get the most out of what we'll say today in finishing up, it would have helped you to hear last week. It's not necessary, but it really would have helped you. And so one of the things that we want you to know when saying this, how to heal your heart condition, you may be here and saying, I don't have a heart condition. Well, praise God. But we want to explain what we mean by that because even though we're not really talking about a physical heart condition, It would include that
right.
because healing is healing, whether it's for your heart, your leg, your little toe, or whatever you have a problem of in your physical body.
Right.
And yet what we were really talking about is that Jesus said there in Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8, in the parable of the sower, Jesus explained that there are four categories or four types, four categories of people, four types of what you could call, what he said, the scripture calls ground, soil, or hearts. Okay?
Yeah.
And so he taught us that the condition of our hearts determined the effect the seed or the word of God has in our lives and what we can receive from God because of it. So he says all of humanity is made up in four categories.
Yes.
What we find is this, the type of ground that we are and or the condition of our heart, so to speak, determines what we can receive from God. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that only one type of ground really received from God.
Yeah.
And produce fruit.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, now I'm looking out in the audience today and I see at least two farmers in here, okay, or people that are experts in that area.
Yeah.
And they know that not only is the seed necessary, but also the type of ground is necessary to receive the seed, as well as the water and process. All of that has to do with the fruit bearing. And I think all of us can understand that without any problem. Yet we need to understand when Jesus taught this truth, as important as all of us will understand, the Word of God is so significant. All-powerful, almighty, the Word of God is.
Yes, it is.
Yet in this, all types of the four types of soil receive the same all-powerful Word, yet it wasn't the Word itself alone that did the job. It was the condition of the heart determined whether the people actually received from God and bore fruit from God.
That's right.
And so, of course, this would include healing in our lives. But this is a good thing for us to think about. When we're going to receive from God, if then our heart condition, so to speak, and we'll learn what, in other words, with the heart man believes, we looked at last week. So you're going to receive and believe with your heart, not with your mind. Your mind is important. Your mind should be renewed with the Word of God so you can know what the Word says, so you can know what to believe. But you renew your mind so you can agree with the Word of God. And as the Word is agreed upon, that Word can get it, that gets into our heart. But it's with a heart that we really believe. And because we can have wrong thoughts in our head. You know, you're sitting here today, and the things that we teach from the Word of God will be challenged in your mind, because the devil can sit on your shoulder and say, well, you know, that may be true, but not true for you. So what we have to understand is you can have, I like what you said, we were talking personally last week about this. You said, you know, we can have some doubts in our mind, but we cannot let them get in our hearts.
That's right.
And that's why we have to cast down those imaginations, renew our mind with the Word of God, and agree with the Word of God.
Doubt your doubts, starve your doubts, but feed your faith.
Yeah. So it's impossible not to have at some point in our life some doubts in our mind.
Right,
but we're told what to do with those doubts.
Yes.
We're to cast them down. We're to destroy them. And we do that with our words.
That's right.
By renewing our mind with the Word of God and then speaking to those things and saying no to them and coming against them and defeating them with the Word of God that we speak.
That's
Amen.
Right. When the enemy throws a lie up to you and tells you, well, you'll never get healing again, or you'll never receive healing, or you have to say, I doubt that doubt.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, I don't accept that, but this is what I do believe. And say with your mouth, I believe by His stripes I was healed.
Yeah.
It's something about you acknowledging, but not only acknowledging, but agreeing in your heart and your mind, right, believing with your heart, agreeing with your mind that you are healed, and that's what you believe.
Yeah. I think that you had said, you made mention to me, and I think it's good, worth, before we move it on, in Mark chapter 9 is a great illustration.
Yes.
Where the man who had the son that needed
demon possessed.
That needed deliverance, when he was confronted by all that was going on with his son, Jesus talked to him, you know, and the man said, if you can do anything, help me and my son. And Jesus responded in Mark chapter 9, put it back on him. He says,
it's not
what I can do, it's what you can believe.
It's what you can believe for.
And so the man made an amazing statement that you brought up. And
yes,
I'm going to make
it. I love it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Yeah.
Notice what he said first. He said, I believe. Right. Now, if he said, Lord, I have doubts, but I believe. No, that wouldn't have worked. But he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. Yeah. And when he spoke that, it means that he was dealing with the thoughts. And how
he was
come,
dealing with the thoughts.
How come? Because he had seen that demonic influence cast his son into the fires, into waters, trying to drown him, trying to burn him. And all that was coming against his mind.
Yeah.
And reminding him. But he said, I believe with my heart, but help my unbelief. He was dealing with those thoughts.
He was crying out to say, ma'am, I believe with my heart, but my mind is giving me a mess.
Fit.
How many here today has believed with the heart, but their mind give them a mess on occasion?
Come on now.
So the reason we're sharing that is because we have to learn to know what to do with that mind.
Yes.
We renew it and agree with the Word of God, and we believe with the heart. We renew our mind so that Word can get into our heart so we can believe and receive from God.
Yes.
And this is what one of the things that Jesus was teaching. So once again, as we jump into this morning, let's turn to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read the parable of the sower from Mark's, the Gospel of Mark's account, where the four types of ground, hearts, lives, or people are revealed. We're one of those four, whether there's not five or six, we're in one of these categories. And so the good news is we don't have to be trapped by where we are. Now, we want to be on the last one, but we're going to read. Now, so we're going to make a few comments as we go through here before we finish reading. It says, and he began, verse 1, and he began, Jesus
Mark chapter 4, verse 1.
Right. Began to teach, this is Jesus, by the seaside. And that, why did Jesus teach? To produce faith.
Yes.
So people would know what to believe and know what to do. That's why he taught. And it says he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. So they entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught everybody. Say he taught.
He taught.
Notice it said this twice. He taught them many things by parables. We explained that last week. And said unto them in his doctrine. So I'm going to say this once again. It is so important that the scripture emphasizes his teaching, because his teaching, the Word of God was designed to produce faith in our heart. So we know what to believe and we know what to do. That's the same reason we're teaching today. So we know what to believe because we're teaching the words of Jesus and know what to do. But notice it says, he taught them by parables and said to them in his doctrine. The word doctrine is a Greek word that means teaching. But in particular, it means this: establish truth to live by.
Yes.
So Jesus Christ's doctrines are established truths that we are to live by. And so, in other words, what we're about to read. These are truths. This is not just an illustration. This is a truth that we're to apply to our lives.
Yeah.
So he says, hearken. Behold, verse 3, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell by the stony ground, and where it had not much earth or soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth, and because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground. Everybody say good ground.
Good ground.
And did yield fruit. Everybody say did yield fruit. See, this is who we want to be. And it sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I don't know if you know, a lot of times when we read things like this, we just can get too familiar with them. When he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, he's not just talking about what you hear with this ear. You got to hear with this, the ear of your heart. So there has to be understanding of what he says.
Yeah.
Now, if he said only this, it would have been very powerful. But for Jesus to explain what he just said takes it to a whole another level.
Yeah.
In other words, we have no doubt. We don't have to put our own interpretation on what Jesus meant by the parable of the sower, because in verse 13, it tells us as we begin to read, and he said unto them, know you not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? So in other words, he said the key to understanding the things of God and the parables, all the parables Jesus taught, or the significance, this is foundational. This is important.
Yeah.
Everything else can be built upon this. Okay? And so
really
I want to I wanted to remind us before we move on that, as verse 8 says, only good ground received from God and lasting results that produce fruit. And so this would apply to everything that we receive from God, but most indefinitely include healing that we may need from for our bodies. And our heart condition, the type of soil we are, the ground, our lives, what's in our lives, the heart condition plays a part in us receiving from God and bearing fruit. And so healing, just like salvation, can't be worked for. Mm-mm. It just needs to be believed for and received for. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
But we'll see the importance of the heart, the condition of our hearts in connection with us receiving from God, including healing. Now, notice in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Amen. So, we are to plant God's word, His message, in our hearts. That's what God wants, okay? And these, here it goes, we begin to, as we teach here in verse 15, and these are they that are by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Mm-hmm. Notice, I'm going to read from the Amplified translation. It says, and the ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. So the word was sown.
Yeah.
But it says, but when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. Wow. Mm-hmm. Notice Satan comes immediately. What is he coming for? Is he comes because he don't like the way you look? He comes for the word. And it says he comes at once and by force takes away the message that was sown in them. Now, if we only read Matthew's version, as powerful as, I'm sorry, Mark's version, as powerful as that is, we would say, oh my goodness, there's no hope for me. It says every time that we hear the word, Satan comes immediately to steal it. But let me show you that the scripture teaches you who he can steal it from. Right. It says he comes and steals it by force. So he doesn't play fair, but he has the ability to do this. But the other gospel, see, remember again, it would do you well for your own homework to go read, not only even though we're using Mark's encounter of this parable of the sower and teaching primarily from that, Matthew 13 teaches us the same parable, and so is Luke chapter 8. That they're all in all three synoptic gospels. So what we want to do is to explain who he can take it from is explained in Matthew chapter 13 in verses 18 and 19. Matthew 13, 18 and 19. We're going to look at that together. Amen. We're going to look at that together. Praise the Lord. Let me turn there. And Matthew 13, 18 and 19. And so he says this, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not. Everybody say understands it not. Understands it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the word, by the wayside. So here's the heart condition. The heart condition is a lack of understanding of God's word. And that would most definitely include about healing. If we have a lack of revelation knowledge or understanding of God's word about healing, we can't receive healing.
That's exactly right.
Or we're at least at a great disadvantage of receiving healing if we're going to receive it by our faith. Because it's impossible to receive something from a God that you don't understand about or don't have faith for. And when it applies, they don't understand it. It means they don't have a spiritual understanding or perception of what they hear. Now, that would be true about anything of the Word of God. This is why it's so important to that the Word of God is understood. What is being taught is understood spiritually. There's things that you know, your mind will battle you about because it don't make sense in the natural.
Right.
But healing is a spiritual thing first.
That's
and then
it.
It's manifested in the natural. Mm-hmm. So, but when we begin to have revelation knowledge of the Word of God, then the lack of understanding, it goes. Amen. And so what we have to understand is there is an answer to this problem of Satan being able to, we be in wayside soil where which Satan can steal the word immediately.
Right.
Why? Because of lack of understanding. We need to understand the answer to that problem. We have to have spiritual understanding of the topics that we're listening to, which this is a healing center. And so this gives you concentrated efforts week in and week out concerning healing.
That's right.
So that your faith can be fed and your doubts can be stalled. Mm-hmm. So the answer to the problem is spiritual understanding, revelation knowledge, and concerning healing. And it is convinced of God's will concerning this matter. Mm-hmm. It's convinced concerning God's will about this matter. And it understands that it's not automatic, but it must be received.
Mm-hmm. It's a full persuasion in the heart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it has to be received. Mm-hmm. So the thing that, one of the things that I think is so important, love, is that I applaud the people that week in and week out come. They might not even need healing, but they know that this is for their health. Not just spiritual help, but for that body. Mm-hmm. And they learn also how to minister to other people
and
help
right.
other people. Yet, there's many people that may need healing, like we all do from time to time, possibly. And this helps to feed our faith, to starve our doubts.
That's right.
And I remember one of the very first things that I had to do as a believer 38 years ago is that I spent the first 2 years of being born again, that one of the topics that I did every day was focused on healing because I was sick and tired of being sick in certain areas of my life. Physically sick in certain areas of my life.
Yes.
And it was that continual study of the Word of God that got all that 24 years of wrong thinking out. Mm-hmm. And thank God that we were a part of this church. We were not pastors in, mm-hmm. but we had great pastors who taught us the Word of God and the value of what we're teaching today. And
That's
it changed
right.
our life.
Yes,
so the problem here with the wayside soil was what? A lack of understanding of the Word of God, whether on any front, but we're talking about healing. So let's say healing. And so the key to answer from the answer to that problem is have a spiritual understanding and application of healing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Of that Word of God.
That's right. So you need to know it is God's will that you are healed and whole. Not question, not doubt at all in the back of your head. You know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is His will that you be healed and whole.
Yep.
And that you don't base your faith on somebody else's experience.
Yep, what's happened
Pastor
to somebody
Debbie,
else.
I know about this person. They were so full of faith, and yet they died. Well, that's between them and the Lord, but you don't know exactly what they might have been truly believing. You thought maybe they really were. So never base your faith on somebody else's experience, but base it wholly on the Word of God. Because God's Word is truth, and it never changes, and it never fails.
You know, love, when you said that, I want to bring up we know personally and have read of and heard many testimonies of people that were believing for healing. Mm. And then they died.
Yeah.
And it shipwrecked the people that were closest mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah.
But when you got close to the people that was closest to that person, they said, they found out that the person that died really was in a lot of pain and wanted to go home
to
be with the Lord.
And
they wouldn't tell anybody that.
Yeah.
But they wanted to go home to be with the Lord. Yeah. There's always a reason.
Always.
It doesn't mean they're evil, they're bad. But let me tell you something. When you get in a lot of pain, sometimes it's just easier to check out. I'm not encouraging that. This is why we're teaching this, so that you can receive from God. But there's always a reason. Do not base your faith on people's results other than what the Word of God says.
Someone's
experience is not what you to base your faith on, but you to base your faith on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're, because that's how faith comes.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. If not, you're going to get shipwrecked along with a lot of other people that have. Let's go on and look at the second type of ground, and we're going to begin, we're going to read in Mark chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. Okay, the sucker group, I'll be reading from the Amplified Translation. It says, in the same way, the ones sown upon the stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive it and accept it and welcome it with joy. And they have no root in them, no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. And then when trouble, not if, but when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and they fall away.
Mm.
So notice the second ground is called the stony ground. And it says, when they hear the word of God, at once they receive it, accept it, and welcome it with joy. Now that sounds all good. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
It looks like faith. All that look, if you, that's all we had right there, we say that's faith. That looks good, man. They received it, they accepted it, and that was supposed to do. Yep, they welcomed it, and they did it with joy. But here's what the problem is when we go on the read. It says they have no root, real root in themselves. So what does that mean? Let's talk about some of those things that we mean, because I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this as a pastor, being the pastor of this church for 20 years and being a believer for 38 years. I've seen people come and go. I've seen people get excited about the Word of God. Oh, I've never heard, come through the line and shake hands. I've never heard the Word like this. And after 3 weeks, you never see him again.
Yeah.
I've never heard such an anointed Word. This Word changed my, this is so good. And you know, you see him three weeks and then, oh, I know God has called me here. I know, and you never see him again.
Yeah.
If there's a reason why, the Scripture tells us, it tells us here, it doesn't mean they're evil people. Here's what it means when it says these, when they hear, it says that in the same way the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but have no real root in themselves. So what does that mean? It means they have a lack of discipleship.
Mm,
it means they have shallow learning.
Yes.
And it means they have no, it says they have no root in themselves there in the King James Version. That means they have no, their roots have not gone down in Christ the way that they're supposed to be. And the Scripture tells us in Psalms 92, they that
there
be planted in the house of God.
The
reason why we need to be planted in a strong local church that teaches the Word of God, because it puts our roots down, not just in a church, but in Christ. It helps us to deepen our discipleship. Our purpose of the Healing Center, in part, is to deepen the discipleship and the learning, so we're not shallow, and so that there's a sufficient root system.
Yes.
Because without a sufficient root system, we get burned.
Yeah.
Come on. The heart condition, because we have not, there's so much we could say here, but we don't have time because we have to get all these points in today. So let's talk about that.
They get moved real easy.
Yeah, they get moved because the heart condition is exposed by Satan's wiles.
Yes.
They're excited about the word, but Satan knows they're excited about the word.
Yes.
So what does he come to steal? The word. And so how is he going to do that? Through his wiles. He's going to do it through, it tells us, through troubles, through persecution. Oh, you go down that track. Oh, you love Jesus now. Oh, you're too good for us. Or all the different things that Satan will use to discourage you in your faith. Oh, you're one of them. Oh, you're, you know, all those kind of things. You're naming and claiming. You know, they will tell you that Satan will use people. Just like he used Peter. One moment Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in the next breath he said, "Oh no, you'll not die." And Jesus turned and said, "Get behind me, Satan."
Yes, he did.
So the same person that can be inspired by God can be used in the next moment to say something that will produce something that would try to destroy our faith. Yeah. So Satan's wiles, his troubles, his persecutions, the offense I see that happens in people's lives, unforgiveness, all of these things causes us, in, at least in part, to give up, to stumble, and ultimately to fall away. Mm-hmm. And that happens because there's no deepening of discipleship. There's no real faith. Right. There, it looks like faith. You can get excited. You sing the songs. You say amen. You run. You jump. You shout when everything's going good. But when the storm hits, there's no application because there's no deep root system. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 teaches us the answer to this problem. Okay, gives us the problem, but also the answer to this problem. So what is the answer to this problem? Deepen the discipleship. It is the answer to the problem is the application of the word against the storm, because it's what we do with what we know.
Yes, yes.
That produces our results. It's not just knowing. A lot of times people know, but you got to do what you know.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And sometimes you got to do it until you run that thing off.
Come on now.
So here's both the answer Jesus said and the problem. And here it is right here, Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended." Here it comes. Here it comes. Here's the persecution, the tribulation, the wiles of the devil. "The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." You know why? Because the deepening of discipleship causes you to know and do the word. You're not shallow. You're not just based upon how you feel and everything's going right. It's based upon the word of God. It's founded upon the word of God, and it's upon the rock of Jesus Christ. The revelation knowledge, if there's an understanding, there's a deepening of discipleship. It's not a one and done thing. It's not that we set our world on fire. It's not what we done in 6 months. How about 6 years, 16 years, 26 years, and until you die?
Right.
How about that? Praise the Lord. That's the truth for all of us.
That's right.
I'm telling you what's true for me, as well as what the Word of God. I'm telling you what the Word of God says, and this is what we have to live as well. Mm-hmm. And then he says, because it was found upon a rock. And then verse 26 goes on, it says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, that would be the one on the stony ground. It shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, you know what? You could have all of us like the beach probably in here. Maybe there may be one person that hates the beach, but probably all of us like a beach. Okay? There's when someone says, "I don't like the beach." That's fine. I'll take your spot there. Praise the Lord. I do like it. But say, if you saw a house, you would not know just by on if you looked at that house, you wouldn't know whether it was built upon a real foundation or it's just got the sand. It had to be sand stick, you know, pushed all up around it. You wouldn't know what the foundation is until the storm hit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So all of our houses look good until something hits. And this is telling us, Jesus is warning us, this is what the stony ground lacks. It lacks the deepening of discipleship, the commitment to the will and the way of God to get the results that God planted or designed for. When the word is planted in our heart as good ground, then the wiles, the persecution, the troubles there, that is talking, even the things that makes us, that it looks like faith, because we can shout, we can pray, we can do all those things, but behind closed doors is something else. And see, all of us could be at that place at some time in our life, but we don't have to stay there. That's the good news.
That's right.
I'm giving us what Jesus said is the problem, and I'm also giving us what Jesus said was the solution. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not leaving us. I'm done. If we identify ourselves have been in this problem, then the good news is we don't have to stay there. Now we know what we do to change that.
That's right.
I got one. That's right, from Pastor Debbie. I pray that somebody is shouting online, amen, as well as here. No, I know you're getting it this morning as well.
Yeah, all right. You said a word in there. You said commitment.
Yeah.
It's not a deepening commitment.
Yeah.
It seems to be a lack of that this day and time. It's a shallow commitment that people are making to Christ and their walk with Him and their response to Him. And
yeah, because I'm going to heaven. That's all it needs. But yeah, but that's
but
not it.
There's a whole lot more to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're going to receive God's highest and best.
Once you get saved and born again, yeah. It's making Him your Lord. That's Lord of your life, of your provision, of your job, of your everything. And people just, they're not out after, well, I prayed that prayer or I did that, but then there's no commitment and devotion to it, sold out to it like these disciples were in the book of Acts. They were sold out. And their commitment to God, they wanted to please Him. They understood the heart of the Father and to win souls.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They were going after it with all they could.
Yeah.
And today it seems to be a lack of commitment in that. It's shallow. Our commitment to Christ is shallow. It's half-hearted. I did that. And it's not like, God,
but
I'm
why isn't
you my
everything working for me, Pastor? You know, I thank God that that's not true with your life.
That's right.
That you are at a different place. You're mm-hmm. here, but you're not just here. I believe that this is not you.
Your commitment shows it.
Yeah.
It shows.
And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you something.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fellowship of Jesus mm-hmm. the necessary to true discipleship.
Yes.
And you know, it's been said before, maybe you heard this, I think it's a good statement, because it stretches us, it challenges us. It said, if Jesus is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all.
Mm. Lord so of all, that, not Lord
that,
at all.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that stretches us. Because it's not just about Him being Lord over what we want. We
right.
wonder why it doesn't work. Well,
right.
He wants everything. Mm-hmm. And because if our heart's not right, let me just ask you this. What do you receive everything from? Your heart.
Your heart. With your
but if
heart.
Our heart's not right, that's why it's incapable of receiving.
Yeah.
Not because
right.
God hasn't promised it. Not because you have to jump through 50 loops or you have to earn it. It's all about receiving with your heart. And if your heart condemns you or has a lack of understanding or it's weak or it's shallow mm-hmm. of its understanding or learning, it can't receive.
Right.
Let's keep on going. Verses 18 and 19, the next condition of heart of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And the one sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Oh, they heard the word. And then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of this age and the pleasures and delights and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. You can tell I'm reading from the Amplified, but this is we're using it for a reason because this is where society is today.
Yes,
deceitfulness of riches,
yes, yes.
The cravings and passionate desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless.
Yeah.
It becomes fruitless.
Ooh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Notice the heart condition here
yeah.
is the cares and the worries. You know, there's so many people that are bogged down by the cares and the worries.
Yeah, of this life.
Stop worrying about your family. You care about them. You may be concerned, but you don't take care.
Right.
You're concerned, but you cast your care.
Yeah.
You keep them in God's hands. You speak the word over them.
That's right.
You're worried. You're worried. You're fretful about what's happening in the earth today. The Bible already warned us so we wouldn't worry.
That's right.
We know that there's two clouds, a dark cloud and a light cloud. Just keep running to the light cloud.
Yes,
don't be deceived
the
by the dark
cloud.
One. He told us things are going to happen.
Yes.
But we don't have to be caught up and worried. We need to be educated so we're not deceived, so that we can help other people.
Yeah,
but we don't need to be worried and let our hearts be filled with the weeds and other things other than the Word of God. Why do you have a garden? You got to go in and get those weeds out because the weeds take over the good.
That's right.
So this is what we have to guard against, and the worries and cares are the wrong things. And then he talks about the distractions of this age.
Mm.
Oh, there is never more of a time of a distraction. We go out to eat often, and you know, most of the times there's people at tables. They're not even talking to themselves. They're on the phones. They're not even engaging in conversation with one another. They're on the phone
She's
doing something different.
She's got her phone. He's got his phone.
The kids got theirs.
They're opposite of each other.
Yeah. And so distractions, the temptation and seduction of wealth. Oh, Lord, we could just, you know, there's a reason why the Bible says that the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to go meddling a little bit. Most people make that decision about where they live, what they do, and everything based upon money. Yeah. You need to make a life before you make a living.
Yes.
And I realize that you need to make a living, but a lot of people have made livings at the expense of making a life.
Oh, my.
Because what they do is determined by the almighty dollar. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? No, not according to this. We're to do what God is leading and putting in our hearts. And yes, we do have to make money. But if we put God first, that's our answer. He said he would add all these other things to us. But the world that we live in today, the reason why people aren't able to receive is because they're distracted. They have a hard time. Think about it one moment. Do you have a hard time? I know all of us have a hard time from time to time staying focused on something we read. But if you're so distracted about everything in the world that you can't spend time with God, you're too distracted, and you will not receive from God.
That's true. Yeah.
The temptation and the seduction of wealth to make decisions that keep God out of what and of your life, out of the best of the will of God.
Yeah.
I know people that come to this healing center that rearrange their schedule so that they can be in here and then go back
Come
to work. My hat goes off to them.
I'm telling you.
Now, I know everybody can't necessarily do that, but I know that people that do. People make decisions about where they go to church because they get fed. That's what it's supposed to be, not our convenience. Oh, I'm going to go to the neighborhood church. Well, thank God if it's a good church that is in your neighborhood.
Right.
But there's people, I think about, every time I go to West Point, I think about you, girl, Christian. I mean, I know where about you live. It probably takes 45 minutes to get here one way. And so, many of you travel great distances to come to this boondock place. Okay, in Matthews County. You got a purpose to get here and want to be here. But my heart goes off to you because you're here for a reason. And the distraction, the temptation of wealth, it costs too much money to drive there. It may be a matter of life and death.
Come on.
Oh, I can't. You know what? I just can't come to church anymore because my job. Well, I've told people this. I said, then do this. Believe God. Let me pray with you. Believe God for another job. A better job.
Yeah.
Until then, be faithful there.
That's right.
But you need to believe God where you can for a job that you can be, where you can be helped and fed. Because if not, you're going to be one of these grounds that don't receive from God. I know people don't like to hear that, but I've lived this.
Yeah, it's true.
I turned down jobs and promotions and all those kind of things, working in other places, because I knew I couldn't serve God. I said, those people will own me and I'll not be able to save God. We are where we are today because we have lived this. Or how about this, the desire of other things. You know, love, we only got one day off a week and that's Sunday. And so, you know what, it's, you know, we got to enjoy life. So we're going to go in the boat today and God will understand. Well, God sure will understand. He understands this. You put that before him if that's all you're going to do. Go to church and then go in the boat afterwards. God don't care. You go in the boat. Just put him first.
That's the point
I'm saying things is to get us to think that what we understand, what are the other things that choke out the word in our life? There could be a multitude of other things.
Sure. I think about the entertainment industry that skyrocketed.
Mm.
People have got to be entertained in this day and time, and they're going the world's way with all this. And it's contending for your attention and your time, and we got to balance in our life what is necessary, like Martha and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. What is necessary? What is essential in my life? What do I need to be feeding on and giving my time and attention to?
And you know what? Me and you like enjoyment things in life just as much as anybody else does. But we put this first. And not because we are pastors, but because we are Christians. We got to live this the same way everybody else does. And we're going to get the results that we want and what God says we can have.
That's right. When I worked in the shipyard and had to get up 3:30 and 4 o'clock every morning, I made sure I had extra 30 minutes with the Lord before I even left the house to go catch the bus at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. All these things work against us. They choke out and keep the teachings of God's Word from growing and producing the fruit. What it produces is a field of weeds. That's what it produces. Now, we've all gone by fields that are growing, and they've got, Johnson grass in the cornfield. They got all this other stuff. Something else has come up because it wasn't sprayed. I think most of the farmers do a real good job on that now. You don't see that like you used to. But you know what? The field of weeds are designed to choke out the Word. You know, sometimes it's hard to hear what the Word says. Oh, it's hard to come to Cornerstone because you hear the Word, and the Word challenges you.
Come on.
But what's happening is it could be that the field of weeds are choking out that and is saying, that hurts, it hurts. It's choking the life out of what's designed to give you life.
That's it.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what's the answer to this? It's simple. Keep God first.
That's it.
The answer to this is keep God first. Keep God first.
It's
keep
simple.
The Word first.
Yeah.
And then always ask this question, what does the Word say? And then do it. What does the Word say? And then do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I just don't feel like going to church this morning. God will understand. He understands. He does understand. And so He understands you're lazy. Yeah, there are excuses. That, listen, I know there's reasons why people can't. I get that. But I'm just talking about us being lazy. And we may not want to. He knows whether we're lying, blowing smoke. But what do we really want? I just think I said this the other day. The reason why we don't see more miracles is because people don't do the things that it takes to get the miracle.
Right.
And it's not that we have to jump through a bunch of hoops, but we got to hear where the Word of God is, and we have to release that faith. Well, you're not going to release your faith in bed. You're going to release your faith by getting out and saying what the Word says and making yourself do some things that the Word says to do.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. So the answer to this heart condition is keep God first. Keep the Word first. I know this is a strong word, but it's a right word.
Yes.
It will produce the fruit in your life because you want to see or know this is the answer why so many people don't receive from God.
That's right.
Right here. Not because God is mean, not because they got to jump through a bunch of hoops. It's because their faith has been choked out. The Word has been choked out.
By so many other things.
Yeah. And we can think that we can just do that. We're a Christian. We're good people, you know. We're members of Cornerstone. We love God. Well, that's good. All that's good.
Yeah.
That's like saying, rah, 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 I'll run with those that run and dance with those that dance. But when it comes, when the storm comes and it's going to come, what are you going to do then? Then you better still be running. You still better be shouting. You still better be saying the Word. That's when you need to say it. That's why we ran the first place to get us used to when the bad things happen. We know what to do when the bad things happen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. All right, we got this last one. Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Amen. And here's the good one. And those sown on the good, well-adapted soil. You know, by the way, FYI, I call you good ground all the time. I call this congregation good ground all the time. Receiving, bearing fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold.
Yes.
And these are sown on good, well-adapted soil. And the ones that hear the Word of God, receive it, accept it, welcome it, bear fruit, and become 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 100 times as much. Amen.
Yes.
Now, here's what I want us to understand. This heart condition is good ground because it understands, and it tells us right here what it does. It understands the Word, hears it, receives it. That means it understands it and applies it to their life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Doers.
They're doers of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. They do the Word, and they bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. But this good ground, chances are, just didn't get there. Just like your garden didn't get there. What'd you have to do before you planted your garden? Till it up. Get the other stuff out of it. So you break up and remove, get the wrong out so the seed will grow. You got to get the wrong things out. You're not automatically good ground. But this tells us how to do it. Because the word will break. You know, the scripture talks about to break up the fallow ground. Well, when the word of God is heard, it works on our hearts so that we are the ones that actually work to get those things out. I saw an amazing thing. I'll try to make this quick and we'll finish it so we can pray for people. But I hope this will help. I saw an amazing thing that illustrates this really well, good ground. I would have never believed it. A year ago, I was at a place with another gentleman, and they told me, I saw a couple hundred acre woodland. And that person told me, he says, well, this particular farmer is going to take out all that woodland, and he's going to plant this next year. Well, I happened to be there about a year later and saw it. The day he was planting that field, it was so dry. He had a year before, it was loaded with timber. A couple hundred acres. Loaded with timber. I would have said it's impossible. And it was just as smooth as this here. Now, he had a pile of, I can't imagine all they were telling me, the equipment that it took and all this kind of stuff. And then I saw over on the side all this pile of sticks that are about this long and about this long, where they kept going over it again with different pieces of equipment to get the smaller stuff out. But the day I saw it, oh, that pile was over there. And all you saw was a dust bowl. And that couple hundred acres were being planted. Just like it would be in your garden. Why? Because they got all the other stuff out. Wow. And they did something to make that good ground.
Yes.
So it could produce fruit. I saw it with my own eyes. And if man can be intuitive enough to do that in the natural, God has given us the ability to get all. We have no excuse. All the things that have tried to hinder us from receiving God's highest and His best, including healing, we can get those things out and work so that this fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold is produced in our life. The word you hear, about Jesus or God, notice it says there in verse 20. Let's read that again. Verse 20, and it says, and those that sow on a good ground are those the ones who hear the word. Hear the word, and what? And receive it, accept it, welcome it, and bear fruit. Mm-hmm. So it's the word you hear about Jesus or God that determines what you believe about God.
That's right.
So in other words, if you need healing, a lot of times I tell people, say, if you need healing, you stop right now. All you listen to primarily is the healing word.
That's right.
You don't need to listen about finances right now or about something else. It's all right to do that, but don't put that first. Hear the healing word. And I'm going to just tell you what we hear in general, amen, including healing, what we hear about Jesus or God determines what we believe about God.
So
it can't be watered down. It can't be just what tickles our ears. It has to be about life application and what God wants for life. Mm-hmm. What you believe will always be determined by what you hear, and that will determine what you can receive.
It's true.
And the purpose of us teaching it, this is to examine our own heart condition and determine whether we're good ground or not. Mm-hmm. And what must be done to change any heart condition that isn't, so that we can receive from God.
Yeah.
We want to close with this thought that we gave last week. It's not just a thought, it's the word. Everybody say the word.
The word.
Proverbs 18:14, here's what it says. The strong spirit of a man, that's his heart condition, sustains him in his bodily pain or trouble, but a weak or broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Mm-hmm. And the Message translation says it like this. Message Bible says, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. That's a heart condition. Healthy spirit conquers adversity, but what can you do when the spirit is crushed? Mm-hmm. Amen. And so this is why Pastor Debbie and I are teaching this, so that we can be what I've been calling you, good ground. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Were y'all blessed by that word this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And if there's anybody in here this morning...
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.